Leadership File on Premier.
This is the Leadership File, bringing you conversations with leaders and experts on leadership themes. I'm Andy Peck, your host. Whether you're listening live or one of the many thousands who listen via podcast, it's great to have you along. If you're the kind of person who hates to waste anything, and food in particular, my next guest will be right up your street. She's the founder of Rubies in the Rubble, a business which works with farms and collects the fresh fruit and vegetables that would otherwise go to waste due to aesthetic imperfections or imbalances in the supply chain. They turn them into condiments and sell them to some of the UK's leading retailers. Her name is Jenny Costa, and she's been my guest before when she shared her story of how she stepped out in faith to found the business. So welcome back to Leadership File, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Andy.
Good to be chatting with you today. Business and charity founders speak of having a sense that a situation needs to change. And I guess you had that moment when you discovered that food was being wasted in a local market.
Yeah, so I started researching food waste in 2010. And back then it was a really hippie notion of, I got into food waste because I read an article about bin divers and people are getting arrested for trying to get into the back of supermarket bins and take food that was in date but past its shelf life, or past its sell-by date but still in date. And it started making me think about the supply and demand of a fresh product where food is perishable and so has to sort of match the demand, or we don't know how much food we're going to grow, but it's unpredictable, governed by the weather. And then on the other side, us humans are unpredictable as well, deciding what we want to eat that night. And in the middle of that, with the supermarkets providing everything in such plentiful amounts, it got me thinking about how does that supply and demand ever really balance or add up, and what happens to when it doesn't, with perishable food being perishable. And so I started researching it, coming at it from a moral point of view originally, of just thinking there's so many that go without currently, and yet we are so affluent that we can afford to waste, and it's almost seen as a sign of affluence to be able to waste. And then as I researched more and more, I came at it from more of an environmental point of view, that we have a responsibility to look after our planet, and our planet had the ability to feed everybody on it, but yet we're wasting a third of everything that we produce. And especially when we were talking about, agriculture being the largest single contributor to greenhouse gases, and our plan to double our food supply by 2050 to feed the expected 9 billion on our planet, I thought there's surely a better way to do things. Surely we should be preserving what we've got, being good stewards of that, and making sure that we're not wasting anything, rather than constantly thinking of growing more and continuing to waste. So that was the real start of it. And Rubies in the Rubble is certainly no solution to it, but it was my little bit, or my contribution, to create a brand that talked and raised awareness around this issue and the need to value food as a precious resource that it is, but also to create a product that actually utilized fruit and veg that was going to waste, and to support farmers to provide a market for a crop that was perfectly good but potentially either didn't have the life to go through a long supply chain of sitting in warehouses and supermarkets and then into somebody's home, or that it was the wrong shape or size or colour. That was the start. I got out my mother's old chutney and pickle and relish and jam recipes and started creating a preserve, really, the natural way of when something's got a short shelf life, extending that. So making preserves out of it and extending our fruit and veg life, which might have been 4 days or 5 days when we intercept it, to then giving it a 2-year shelf life.
That's fabulous. And I think a lot of people who instinctively have that sense that they don't want to see food wasted, but they know, like you said, that statistics are very damning in terms of how much we waste. Mm-hmm. It's lovely to hear of someone recovering that. And of course, in our recent summer, there's been a particular concern with the picking of fruit and vegetables with the lack of workers to do so, lack of local people wanting to do so, and you know, all the challenges of the pandemic and people travelling to do so. So yeah, so how did things expand, Jenny, from that initial idea? Again, without rehearsing our last conversation, just for listeners who aren't familiar with it, how did you get from that concept to actually where you are today?
Well, I think everyone starts businesses in very different ways, depending on personality types. I'm very much a doer. I'm not very good at researching or sort of planning. I love to try something on a small scale. If it fails, sort of see if there's any demand for what I'm doing, and if it fails, pivot very quickly. So I started that very first morning when I was, the night before I'd been reading about food waste, I set my alarm at 4 a.m. and went along to some wholesale fruit and veg markets and started seeing fruit and veg being discarded with my own eyes and talking to a lot of the traders. And as I cycled back home with sort of plenty of different types of beans and mangoes and things in my basket, I was thinking there's got to be something that I can do with this. And that initially made me think of my mother's preserve recipes from any time we had excess in the garden when she'd be making chutneys and jams. So I, that afternoon, booked a farmer's market in London. I was living in London at the time in King's Cross, and I found one in Marylebone High Street that was on the, this was in October time, and it was on the 18th of December. And I thought, right, I'll book that, and gives me a month or so to create a product, see if I enjoy it, and try and sell it on the market. And I was still working. I was working in a hedge fund. And after that market, I mean, I made a range of tomato chutneys, and we had a carrot chutney in the jam. And I loved it. We hardly made any cash, but sold out. And there was something really exciting about having created something, knowing exactly what was in that product and talking about it with people. And seeing the demand for that from people, and people taking it and knowing that it would be in somebody's Christmas stocking, that I really fell in love with. And so that year I was 25 at the time, so I handed in my notice after Christmas and started working on reviews from 3 months after my notice, so from sort of March that year. So I started very sort of quickly and just on a bit of a whim, but mainly because I was so passionate about the food waste angle and wanting to raise awareness. And we, for the first 2 years, predominantly sold our range of relishes and chutneys into small delis. We got into Harrods, we got into Selfridges and Fortnum and Masons, and then a lot of other delis, and people love what we were standing sort of doing. And then we were very, very fortunate that even when I talked about food waste in those days, everyone thought it was such a hippie, odd notion, and couldn't relate the food waste with an environmental sort of angle. It was a hard one to understand, because I thought, well, it decomposes, it's compostable, what's the big idea, big problem? And so I was like, well, it's actually that pasta that you're throwing half of the pot away, the carbon footprint of growing that, processing it, shipping it, packaging it, putting it on the supermarket shelf, you then keep heating it up and then throwing half of it away, it's got a huge impact environmentally. So it was a sort of a slow burner, but then in 2014, Tesco's released their food waste figures, and with no one else doing anything in the food waste sector, we were suddenly on BBC News, and we got a lot of press articles around what we were doing and this need to start looking at food waste and addressing it. So we were really, really fortunate, and then got a listing in Waitrose soon after that, and then started supplying Eat, which is no longer, but Pret, with their onion chutney for their sandwiches. And it made that we meant that we could start really working with larger farmers and scaling our business. And then it's just grown from there, from being on a very sort of on a shoestring for the first 3-4 years. And then we raised a bit of money and we did another investment raise about a year and a half ago and grew the team, expanded the product range into ketchups and mayonnaises. And now selling in Waitrose nationwide with the whole range, but also in Sainsbury's and working with Virgin Trains and Marriott Hotels. And yeah, it's sort of grown from there. So it's sort of a whirlwind, but looking back, 8 years of work, and it's sort of, it's, we're moving forward. and still enjoying it, which is great.
Oh, that's fabulous. And in early days, you were able to employ folk who were struggling work-wise. Obviously, that sounded like a lovely thing to do. It had its shelf life, I'm sure, but how did that go?
Yeah, so we, for the first sort of 2 or 3 years of running Rubies, it was when the Olympics was being built, and one of the biggest fruit and veg markets in London was pretty much opposite the Olympic site. So I bought an old, it was a burger van for feeding the builders that were working on the site. I bought their old kitchen and put it on the site of the fruit and veg market. And so we worked in that little kitchen right beside where the fruit and veg were, getting up at sort of 4 or 5 a.m. when the market was, it runs through the night, so when the market was just closing. And started making all of our delicious condiments. And at that time, I was living in East London as well, and had been helping out in a charity. And so when I needed, the first people that we employed were women that came from the soup kitchen that I was working with. And it was wonderful. We had a really, sort of always had the radio going and different music and people from all sorts of backgrounds. And they would help me sell it on different market stalls as well. But there came a point where we were never breaking even. And I had a point where it was either deciding on whether I would be a business or a charity, because the way we were creating products, we'd need a lot of cash to support us. And I moved to, I suppose, realizing you can't do everything, especially when cash is tight. And I focused on the one thing that I was most passionate around, which was the raising awareness around the food sustainability side and how to grow that and really make an impact. And that to do that, that was sadly sort of getting out of our own kitchens, finding a manufacturing partner that would allow us to make products at a bigger scale and sort of concentrate on just the environmental side of it. So sadly, in sort of 2014, we sold our little porter cabin kitchen, and we ended up, now we work in an office, and so a lot of the women that were helping us at that time, who I'm still in touch with, and it's been lovely to have that relationship, but we're now no longer employ them in the kitchen.
Well, you're listening to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Jenny Costa, the founder of Rubies in the Rubble. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Jenny Costa. Jenny's the founder of organisation or business Rubies in the Rubble, which works with farms and collects the fresh fruit and vegetables that would otherwise go to waste and turns them into condiments, relishes, mayonnaise, chutney and the like. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about how Jenny started this, the kind of concern about, particularly about the environment, but also about food waste and how that progressed. So Jenny, every business, you know, has its moments, has its challenges. You kind of alluded to one of the challenges, that you can't be both a charity and a business. Are there other things that you've faced as a leader of this business that you'd be good to share?
Yeah, I think it's constant sort of the battles of challenges coming up. I mean, I think I've grown and learned a huge amount. I'd never managed or led people before, so I think from the people point of view and the responsibility of supporting people in the right way, that's been a huge learning and a huge challenge in some respects, with different personalities and things. But I think that's similar to most businesses. I think in, obviously this has been a very challenging year for a lot of businesses, and it's made us think a lot. So one big challenge for us this year was being a ketchup provider and supplying to restaurants. There was a big shift into going into sachets again, rather than having a ketchup bottle on the table or putting it in a ramekin. And there still is no usable or sort of efficient way of having a sustainable sachet. This is around 11 billion ketchup sachets that end up in landfill every year. And it just felt such a grate against what we stand for as a company.
Sure, yeah.
But yet, all of our customers, we were sort of about to lose them. We had Marriott hotels, burger chains, and things saying, I'm going to have to go back to the ketchup I was using before. Or you need to get into this sachet format. I want my customers to feel safe, and I need it to be in plastic. And And we really struggle with that. And a lot of the time, it was a real sort of question. We had our manufacturer has the ability to go into sachets, so it was constantly sort of feeling like that seemed an easy win. But yet, it really doesn't. When we look at what we are growing, what we stand for in the long term longevity of it, to make a pivot like that for 6 months just to win some extra sales really didn't sit right. So instead. I started thinking, well, most people are at home at the time, which was in the middle of lockdown, and when they're wanting home delivery from burger chains and things, surely they've got ketchup in their cupboard. Most people do across the country. So instead, we convinced the ketchup chains, instead of putting a sachet in, we'll give you a flyer and we'll talk around the environmental impact of sort of sachets and things, and make it sort of funny and easy to understand from the consumer's point of view. And say, hopefully you've got a ketchup bottle and you can help the fight against single-use sachets. You can join that fight with us. But if you are caught short and you don't have ketchup, we'll send you a bottle on us for free. And we have we had a ketchup helpline. And it was amazing that within the first week, when I think we had 5,000 orders going out, of different meals, we got 6 redemptions of people wanting a ketchup bottle, but hundreds of people sending us messages on social media saying, like, this is fantastic. I'd never even thought about it. It's lovely to be challenged and think about in your home how you're wasting or how you're governing or utilizing resources. So I think constantly trying to do things as a business that hold true to what you stand for, know what your mission is and what your purpose is, and never really wavering from that.
Well, that is, it's a super story, and well done for holding your ground, I guess. Jenny, courses on business development often stress the importance of kind of taking strategic action. But often it's a case of responding to things that can't be foreseen. I guess what we just spoke about was a bit of an illustration of that. And I just wonder how much you kind of think your leading has been strategic, you've thought it through and done stuff, and how much has been responding to what's going on, and kind of which part of that do you enjoy most?
Yeah, so a really good question, because I think especially for small businesses, it's so relevant that as a small, ambitious business, and you sort of wanted to grow quickly, and when you are small, growth does come quickly. You get a new supermarket listing and it sort of changes your business overnight. There is a lot of responding to things and trying to take up opportunities. And I think it's got to be a really careful balance of the two, of, like I mentioned earlier, sort of really knowing who you are and what your purpose is. And that should reflect every business decision that you make. So the way you what you create, the way you supply, where your ingredients come from. So really holding true to the kind of business that you're wanting to create, and making sure that every touch point of that business makes sense. For example, with our restaurants in London, and even with Selfridges and Marriott Hotels, we deliver all of our chutney spill by Pedalme, which is a bike a delivery app that guys cycle the chutney or the relishes or the ketchup to the door. And just trying to sort of think, if we're trying to do things in the most resourceful way, if there's an alternative, let's explore that. So trying to make sure that every touch point and every thought of your supply chain, right down to the end product and then how the user is going to use that product, is in line with your purpose. But then there's I think if you're holding on to that and never letting that go, then being able to be flexible enough within those parameters, sort of having rules around your game of how flexible you are and responding to opportunities, it feels to me like a really good balance of holding, never letting go of who you are and why you exist and what your end purpose is as a company. And what you provide to the customer, but at the same time being flexible enough to keep open to opportunities. And I've definitely made mistakes in the past. We sort of, Tesco's early days asked us to make a pasta sauce from them, and I spent 6 months sort of looking at that, whereas really I should have been thinking, well, there's a reason why I went into preserves, because it's a natural way of preserving a product, and I want to make sure that we're never wasting as a company. It's what we know, it's what we've got an idea of our product line, and we're getting distracted by playing around with products that, as a small team, if you're spending half the time making a pasta sauce rather than selling your ketchup, you've got half the team focused on the wrong thing. So I think there's certain times where it's being brave enough to say no to opportunities as well, as much as it is taking opportunities.
Yeah. And in terms of your faith within this, obviously there's a sense in which your whole concern for the environment springs out of a belief of God's a creator, mm-hmm. who's given us stewardship of the planet. But have there been particular decisions you've made along the way that you think, yeah, if I hadn't been a Christian, I might not have done that? Or God led me to do something particular?
Yeah, I mean, right. There was a time sort of about 2 years into Rubies and the Rebel when I started Rubies with such a sense of calling and feeling like this is where God wanted me. And it was something that I was so passionate about. It was on my heart. And I think holding on to those sort of three truths as a Christian of that God, Jesus will never leave you. He's always with you. He created you for a purpose. And he wants you to shine in that. And with those two things, I think you can sort of be fearful. There's no reason to fear failure in a way, because failure is almost the fear of man and what people will think of you. But God's always got you, and there's more to life than just the sort of the feeling of success from a human point of view. So I think I've felt quite fearless in terms of starting up a company and going out alone, being a single founder as well as I started. But there's definitely, I think, other things. I think of faith in business compared to when I speak to other friends and who's doing it, of the difference of having a strong faith, I think, of being able to hold things really lightly, knowing that it's such a privilege to be able to work, and it's God's work, and we can do as much as we possibly can, and everyone can strive to do things the best that they can, and we should be striving to that. But at the same time, God really, the main thing he's wanting is to have a relationship with you and to be sharing that journey. And I think my husband and I, he also runs his own business, which is a Christian meditation app. And the two of us always sort of feel like that balance has to be met, that you need to keep the joy in running a business, and times will always be stressed. There'll always be stresses and always be things that can keep you awake at night. But having God in your life and being able to do that journey with him, I think it really does take off the burdens, and you can go to bed and sort of park your work for the day. So I think there's nothing that I would say is sort of a pivotal or an ongoing thing or a sort of a monumental thing. But I think having a faith in running a business is fantastic for just that ability to be able to take off some of the burdens and hold work lightly.
Sure. Well, as we close, Jenny, as we anticipate Christmas, and I believe you have plans for products for the Christmas season.
Christmas is always we have our sort of flagship range of chutneys, which we started the business with and still very much do. It's still my spicy tomato relish is still my favourite product that we make. Christmas, although the rest of the nation realising most of our sales come from ketchup and mayonnaise, but there's always the peak at Christmas time when everyone wants a chutney, which is fantastic from our side. And we have a Christmas gift set. We also have a pear and fig, which is in a lovely gold packaging, but it's a fantastic. We call it the king of the cheese board. So yeah, I get very excited for our chutneys and relishes at Christmas time.
So how would people get in touch with your products?
A lot of more information is on our website, rubiesandtherevel.com. And we are also on Ocado, or we're now on Amazon as well as a result of lockdown. We're in a lot of, if people are in Waitrose, a lot of independents as well. But most of our stockists are listed on our website as well. So either by direct via our website or on another stockist.
Jenny, it's always a joy to chat with you. And
it's lovely to speak to you, Andy. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for, you know, you're being an inspiration for many who have perhaps had an idea but never really followed it through. So well done, and great to hear your success. So you've been listening to Leadership Fire with me, Andy Peck, and I was joined this week by Jenny Costa. Rubies in the Rubble is her business. Do log on to Premier's website and you can find archived versions of Leadership Fire, including this one, in due course. And of course, you can listen to the podcast by signing up wherever you get your podcasts. You better sign up and get the Leadership File delivered to your listening device. So thank you for joining us. Look forward to your company again next Sunday at 4 or via podcast.